So fasting is something, again, that the church has kind of allowed to die through the ages. It's something that's all the way through the Bible, and we'll cover some of those things and at least mention them, and then you guys can go out and hopefully do diligence and be Bereans and go through your Bibles and see what the Lord says about it. You know, it's not just to the pastor or whatever, but it's for everybody. It's for our condition. Really, what it's for is for our condition of our heart, to condition it, to make it so it's pliable to the Lord, so we're in, open our ears so we can hear, you know, the ears of our heart. But so often the misuse of fasting has led to, like many things within the church, the misuse of our gifts or whatever it may be within the church boundaries has put a sour taste in perhaps some folks' mouth that says that fasting isn't important. You know, that we should sideline it. We shouldn't get too out of hand with it because, gee, we could turn the world upside down. You know, that would be an awful thing, wouldn't it? We turned the world upside down. We turned Elmira upside down for the sake of Christ. And because we fasted, you know, what an awful thing that would be, you know, that people would come to know him, you know. And so, but the misuse and the manipulation of and the motives, right, that folks have had for fasting have been things like to motivate, right, to motivate others to do certain actions. Right, so we've seen that within the church, even how people would sit up in towers, right, and motivate people to give. Well, that's not why we're here. We're not here to fast so that we can get. Right, it's all about what are our motives, and it's really to hear the voice of God in our lives, to get His direction, to allow Him to speak to us without distraction, you know, of the flesh. So that was one thing. It was a forceful fast, right? If you're taking captivity, sometimes they wouldn't feed you so that you'd perform a certain task, and they wouldn't allow you to be fed until that time, right? So, is there some? Oh, you know what? We're going to go over that at the end, if you could, just so it's not a distraction. And then there's a religiousness, right, to it. And we'll see, and we'll look at today of the Jews, right? We seek, the Jews have these particular fasts that they cover. And we'll look at those too. And so for the Jews, there's normally four fasts that they like to keep. Annual fasts, and there's other fasts during the year that they keep, but these are the major ones, and the one everybody can remember is Yom Kippur, right? Which is really an atonement. It's to celebrate God's atonement for the nation of Israel. So it's a time where they would put aside so that they could go and repent of their sins, right? But let me tell you, we don't have to wait to repent, right? We don't have to wait for a particular day to repent from our sins and get right with the Father, right? We can do it any time that we want. That should bring freedom to our lives, that we can go to the cross anytime we want, not on a particular day, but anytime we want, to say, Lord, I've wronged you, and now I'm willing to set it aside. I'm willing to run away from the sin and run to your cross, run to what you have for me. So there was a fast that they had celebrated there. And the commemoration of the capture of Jerusalem, if you remember right, as we went through Daniel, is that we've seen the children of Israel, how they disobeyed the Lord and how they went into captivity for 70 years, starting out with Zedekiah. And there was a famine at that point for them, so they remember. They, you know, it was a sorrowful time for them when the nation was captivated by a pagan king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. And then there's also what they remember of the destructions of the temple. So they fast to remember the destructions of the temple. Sorrowful moments, sorrowful times, right? for the nation of Israel. And then Jedidiah, the assassination of Jedidiah that happened, they remember that, a sorrowful time for the nation of Israel. But the fasting isn't always has to be this way. It doesn't have to be in the sorrow of the moment that we fast. But it can be of a place of that we want to be. We want to be because we want to be next to the Lord. We want to hear His voice. So the Jews would remember these things. But, you know, throughout the Bible, and I'm going to go through a few here and just read off some of the fasts that we see from the biblical accounts, just to say it wasn't limited just to the Jews. But it was limited. It was also for the Christians. But it says here. So Moses, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He did it twice, back to back. Right? He went up the mountain and he fasted. He came down the mountain. Saw the pagan beliefs adopted by the children of Israel. Went up the mountain, fasted again 40 days. And Scripture tells us that it was miraculous because it was without any food or water. So it was a miraculous thing back to back that the Lord did for Moses. King David fasted when his son, right, when he conceived a son through Bathsheba, and Bathsheba became sick, and he was, you know, and then Uriah, and then the son died, and so it was in a sorrowful moment that David would finally come to seek the Lord over his sin, you know, and it was a time for David really to get right with the Lord. David uses the, in Psalms 35, we learn that David fasted as an act of humility, right? That he would humble himself and fast before the Lord. King Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast throughout Judea. It was kind of like, in a sense, what we're doing this month. While I'm not proclaiming a fast, but I'm certainly encouraging that folks would consider fasting. You know, and we'll get into some ways you can do it, and some ways that are gentler for others, because if you've never fasted before, you don't know what you're in for, in a sense, from a physical standpoint. But if you have, well, you kind of know some of the hunger pains and stuff that you go through, but you remember the joy, right, at the end of a certain time period. Usually for me, it's after a few days. After a few days, I feel like I can go forever, you know. And then you have them sweet times with the Lord. And for me, I've always looked at it as, wow, I get 3 hours of time back, right? 3 hours of time back with the Lord that I can sit at His feet and just hear His voice. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do in your kingdom? You know? And perhaps fasting, to you, you're kind of overwhelmed by it. And I don't want to overwhelm you. I want to create a delightment for it in you and allow you to experience hearing the voice of the Lord, you know, in the Spirit. But he commanded it or proclaimed it throughout Judea because of the victory that he had over the Moabites and the Amorites. And also the prophet Joel called for a fast to avert judgment of the Lord. The people of Nineveh, remember Nineveh and Jonah? Jonah's prophecy of fast to avert judgment of God. The Jews of Persia, remember Mordecai? Mordecai and the genocide that was going on there that Haman had wanted. And Queen Esther would declare a 3-day fast. And there again, the Jews, in a lot of their fasts, major fasts, it was an absolute fast. We'll cover that a little bit. But an absolute fast was absolute. There was no water. There was no food. And it was a tough fast, you know, for 3 days. And what it shows us, too, is that, boy, there's something about this flesh, because I can sense. I can feel some of you saying, I can't. How can I ever give 3 days? How can I ever give up food? How can I ever give up water? How could I ever give up both at the same time? How could I give up just a meal? You know? But until you experience the voice of the Lord and Him talking to you and Him showing you things and confirming things, you'll never know. Right? You'll never know until you take this step of faith. It is sometimes a step of faith. And we see the prophetess Anna, who proclaimed the baby Jesus to be the Messiah, prayed and fasted regularly in the temple. It said that was her, in a sense, that was her duty. You go, wow, pray and fast. No recognition in that. Absolutely no recognition, right? Pray and fast, pray and fast. She didn't get up on the stage. She didn't play the electric guitar. She didn't preach. She just prayed and fasted. What a calling. You know, we look at that as secondary, right? We look at what we can do for the Lord. Sometimes we ask the Lord, Lord, what can I do for you? Right? And He says, pray. He goes, no, what can I do for you? Right? But really, prayer is it. You know, when we want to get something done, we pray. It's not foolishness. It's not something that we do extra. It's not something that you know, we want to do it as something that we do mainly. It's a primary thing here. You know, we don't want it to be secondary. As soon as we have it secondary, we lose all perspective of the Lord. Right? We don't hear His voice like we should. So prayer and fasting is not a secondary thing here for Anna. It was a regular thing. So Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights while in the desert. And as He was tempted by Satan, He continued to fast. He didn't give up because He was tempted by Satan. So often when my flesh is tempted and I'm during the fast, I'm like, okay, Lord, I think I'm done. Right? But Jesus never quit. Yeah. Why didn't He quit? I think because He loved you too much. He just loved you too much. He was fasting not for Himself. Right? He was fasting for somebody else. He was fasting for His Father. He was fasting so He could hear, so He had clarity. You know. So Jesus teaches on the outward appearance too in Matthew 6:16. Paul, we see as he goes to Damascus, we see him fall on his face, right? And then he sits and he ponders the things that he had learned probably from way back as a child through the whole pharisaical movement that he was in. And he fasted. He didn't eat. We see Paul and Barnabas appoint elders. It wasn't a light decision. They didn't look at it and said, let's see, we've got 5 people, so hey, I guess you guys are the elders. Right? They didn't do it that way. They didn't take a congregational vote and say, let's see, I've got this guy, let's have an election. You know, they didn't do that. They fasted and prayed, and the Lord gave them the elders, right? Gave them who they were praying for. So it's important, and it shouldn't be taken lightly, and it's something when we want to hear the voice of the Lord that we do. Right? If we want to hear the voice of the Lord here at Calvary of the Twin Tiers, you know, we want to fast, we want to pray. You know, when the man, remember the man that brought his son to Jesus and said, "Hey, man, your disciples couldn't heal him," and so Jesus did it. He healed them. And then his disciples came to him, and what did he say? This is what he said. They said, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately and said, why could not you cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. See, Jesus expects it to be a lifestyle for us. This is not a, hey, let's just do it this one day in this ritual and whatever. No, this was a lifestyle for us. If we want to see miracles within this church, we need to see. We need to take this serious. We need to take fasting serious. We need to take praying serious. You know, we need to be seeking the Lord. We need to take it serious when we're seeking the Lord. Right? What is fasting? Fasting is giving up this flesh, what this flesh wants, for what the Lord wants, what the Spirit wants, right? Scripture is very clear in Galatians. It says that we should, what, walk in the flesh? No, it says don't walk in the flesh, right? That we should be walking in the Spirit, right? Walking in the Spirit. And sometimes the flesh interferes with the Spirit, and then all of a sudden we're overcome by the things of the flesh, and we can see that in our behavior sometimes. It's evident in our behavior, how we act, right? So, but we still need to, in a sense, walk in that Spirit of the Lord. So why do we? Well, we saw where the Jews did it, right? The Jews did it because they were sorrowful, right? They had something happen to them, and they felt like they should remember that, so they took a fast on that day. You know, the destruction of the temple a couple times there, and the Day of Atonement for repentance and whatnot. So they took that upon themselves and created a fast. The Pharisees would take a fast because it was customary, right? And it was something that they just did, you know? It was something righteous that they did, right? But if we want to look at Luke, actually I had it open there, Luke 18, 9 through 12. Remember this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector? It says also that he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a day. I give tithes of all that I possess. What an ego, right? We don't tithe for that reason. We don't fast for that reason, right? We don't give so others know. And we don't fast so others know. You know, we fast. Why do we fast? Say it again. We fast because we want to hear the voice of the Lord, and we want it to glorify Him, right? We want the Lord to know that, Lord, I am open to you. I am open to your Spirit. I've set the things aside that are of the flesh, and I want to hear from you, right? They did it. The Pharisees did it out of obligation. They saw it as an obligation. That's why they pinpointed it twice a month. They didn't say, well, we do it 2 to 3 to 4 times a month. It was very much an obligation to them. It was set in stone. They did it twice a week, no more, no less. It was an obligation to them. We don't want to make fasting an obligation, right? In the sense that we're doing it just because. Right? Just because. Matthew 9:14 through 15 says, then came to him the disciples of John. Remember, John had his disciples. Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said to them, This is King James. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. So there was this time when Jesus said, as long as I'm with you, there's no reason for you to fast. Right? But there comes a time when he's gone, that there's a time when we fast. Right? And notice what it says there. It says, and then shall they fast. Meaning, if you're a disciple of Christ, it's not an option. It's something that God says they'll do it. Why? Because we love to hear his voice. We love to hear clarity in his voice. We want to hear his voice. Right? That's why we do it. We do it because we love him. And Jesus told us to do it. And we want to be obedient to it. We're going to do it. Right? So it's something that we should be doing. Zechariah 7. Verse 3 says that they were asking, as they went to the house of the Lord to pray before the Lord, they said, and they asked the priest who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth day? And remember that fifth month, and that fifth month was the time when they fasted for the destruction of the temple. And fast as I have done for so many years. They might have done this this chapter starts out with the fourth year of King Darius. So we know that it was at the end of the captivity there. They had done it for many years. Perhaps they had done it for 70 years. And he kind of lost the whole meaning of it almost. And it says, and then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fast and mourn to the fifth and the seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me? He said, really, did you fast for me, or did you just do it? Right? We never want to get in the position where we just do it. Right? Because, well, you know, the church, Pastor Fred, has declared a fast for the month of January. That's why I'm doing it. Why are you fasting? Well, it's because that pastor told me that we're doing this fast. So I'm going to fast. Don't do it for me. Do it for the Lord. Are you doing it for me, son? The Lord said this. Are you doing it for me? Are you doing it because you want clarity in my voice? You want it. Do you want to hear the Lord? It allows us that time to weed away the distractions and allow us to just get into the Lord and just penetrate what he is. Hear the Lord. Right? Like I said, it gives you 3 hours a day. If you did a day's fast, you could have pleasure in having 3 days, 3 hours each day that you do it. You can devote that to the Lord and just get into his word. How many of our lives are so hectic right now? Your life's hectic? My life's hectic. You know, I'm trying to find time to study, time to work, you know, time to do things that the Lord's called me in, time to for my family. Tactic. Need to hear the Lord. You know why? I don't need to waste time. I don't need to waste all the time that I'm wasting. Because I'm going in so many directions. Right? We want to hear the voice of the Lord so we can concentrate. Okay, this is the direction of the Lord. Right? I know I need to go that way. I don't need to be over there and over there and all these places, but it focuses us. It gets us back to our foundation. It gets us back to looking at what the Lord has for us. Give us that direction. But who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for the Lord? Or are we doing it for recognition? Pastor, I've fasted all week. You know, do it for the Lord. Don't do it for me. Because I think when you do it for the Lord, you're doing it for yourself too. You're finding out that the Lord can show you His purpose in you too. You know, He can show you those things. You know, I can't necessarily do that. So don't fast for me. Fast for the Lord. So what does it mean to fast, right? We've had all these, I've heard them through the years of, well, I'm fasting. Well, what do you fast? I gave up TV, right? Okay. You gave up TV. That's not fasting. Just to let everybody know, that's not fasting. That's not biblical fasting. That might be worldly fasting, but that's not biblical fasting, right? Matthew 4. If you want to go there for a second, we'll cover it in about 5 years, probably. So, at the rate I'm going through Matthew, right? Don't laugh, Bob. But this talks about Jesus's walk into temptation, right? It says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Gives us a sign that it doesn't say that he was hungry and thirsty, but it does tell us that he was hungry. So we get a sign here that it was food, you know, that he had drink. Doesn't really say here that he didn't, so we can't assume that. But we know that he had drink. And so there's a normal fast, right? A normal fast of just, you know, I'm going to give up some food. Whatever that might be for you, you know. It might be a day. It might be weeks. Please don't go years. I won't be seeing you very long. It might be hours. It's really between you and the Lord. I'm not going to tell you what kind of fast to do, but I would take it to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what do you want us to do? And again, if you've never fasted before, don't jump into it and say, I'm doing a 40-day fast. Jesus did it. I can do it. Right? Because you get discouraged and you won't find any fruit in it and you'll give up. Right? Take it slow. It's your first time out of the blocks. Just, I don't know, do a meal a day. Just a suggestion. You know? Do something to say, Lord, I am willing. Right? That's the main thing. Lord, I'm willing to start this. And I want to see some fruit. Lord, can you show me some fruit? Can you just... And He will. He'll show you some fruit. And I want to hear about it. Because in February, when we discuss what I've got up on the slides, we'll hopefully be able to share some of the fruit together. Then, of course, we talked about Paul a little bit on the way to Damascus when he got struck by the Lord in his sight. He was blinded and he fell on his face, in a sense. And for 3 days, he went without food. And that's in Acts 9:9. And that was without food and without water for 3 days. We saw that in Moses too, and that's an absolute fast where you don't drink any water or food or liquid. Again, you know, the science has proven or at least documented that 3 days seems like a reasonable day time without water. But beyond that, there's some struggles in that, so I would stay within. I wouldn't get crazy and say, Lord, I'm praying for a miracle. You know, you can, but that's between you and the Lord. I'm not suggesting it, you know, but But then there was a partial fast, right? We see that in Daniel chapter 1 and chapter 10, where he took a partial fast. It was more of fruits, vegetable kind of thing. You know, he stayed away from the king's meat, remember? And so there was a partial fast. Whatever the Lord leads you in, do it. That's all I can say. Because I can't steer your life. I can't direct that path that the Lord wants you to go down exactly. But for fasting, but do it. Do it according to what the Lord would have you to do. Matthew 6, verse 16 through 18 says, "Moreover, when you fast," again, it doesn't say if you fast, it says when you fast, "it's a matter of time. As a Christian, as a believer, we should consider this because it's something that the Lord expects. This is all in red letters here. This is, you know, where the Lord gave it to his disciples. When you do this, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their rewards." Right? The Lord tells us that about praying too, that we should not make it obvious to folks, that it shouldn't be a parade, right? That we shouldn't be standing out on the street corner just praying, and you know, if our intent is just to get our picture in the paper, right? "But you, when you fast, anoint your head with oil and wash your face. Make your appearance as if you're not even." Because who's it for? Right? Gets back to what Zechariah was saying. Who's it for? Is it for me? Or is it for the Lord? Right? That's what we want. We want it from the Lord. For the Lord. "So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret reward you openly." So we can be assured that we don't have to make it public knowledge in order for the Lord to bless us. So fasting, you know, kind of gave you the summary there. I'm sure there's more to it. You can certainly dive into it more. But I do want to take you to chapter 58 of Isaiah. And when we look at fasting, we should, in every aspect of our Christian life, really, this question should be asked, right? Is what I'm doing pleasing to the Lord? If you remember the act of Bathsheba and David, and what did the Lord say to David when it was all over and said and done, right? It said that the Lord wasn't pleased with David. And for me, that is heart-shaking, right? That should be ear-piercing to us. That should be some place in which we don't want to even go. Never do we want to be to a place where our actions have displeased the Lord. If our hearts are truly set on pleasing Him, there's no way I want to go there. Right? And so, with anything in our Christian life, whether it be our normal cadence, or fasting, we want to make sure that what we're doing is pleasing to the Lord. There's so much religion out there today that isn't pleasing. There's so much Christianity out there today that the Lord isn't pleased with. Why? Because it's self-fulfilling, self-motivated. It doesn't give Him the glory. And remember, He deserves it. And He mandates our praises. Right? We want to praise Him. We love Him. We want to praise Him. But here in Isaiah, dealing with Israel once again, it says, "Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet to all my people their transgression. So the prophet here is asking the Lord, tell them their transgression. In the house of Israel, their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. As a nation, they did righteous, and they did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They asked of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. So they're doing all the correct things here, right? They're going to church or synagogue, temple. They're going to where they're supposed to go. Yet there's transgression in their life that the Lord has to identify for them. Even though it says, yet they seek me daily. They come into the temple daily. They're doing appearance-wise the right thing. But you get the sense here that there's something wrong. There's something that's just not right. In verse 3 it says, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not and have not seen. You know, why do we do this? Why do we do this nonsense of fasting? I mean, God doesn't even recognize us. Why have we afflicted our souls and you have taken no notice? Sounds like a self-motivated kind of fast to me. Sounds like they're after something. They're after a blessing from the Lord, or I'm not doing it. Right? I'm fed up with it, Lord. I've fasted, and you're not showing me anything. I'm not doing it. Right? Wait a minute. Has the Lord called you to the fast? Then we should be doing it. Right? In fact, in the days of our fast, you find pleasure and exploit all your labors. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? The bottom line is that why do we fast? We fast for the benefit of us, or do we fast for the benefit of God and for His glory? Do we want people to notice us in our righteousness? Is what we're seeking a selfishness? Do we selfishly fast so that we gain something? It's not for us to gain. It's for God. It's for God so that He can use His people. Right? Verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bonds of wickedness and to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. He says, isn't this what I've chosen for you? I want to break some bonds that you have. Right? Maybe you're struggling with sin in your life. I want to break those bonds, he says. I want to undo the heavy burdens. I want you to learn to give them burdens to me, because my burden is light. I want to set you free from the oppression that the world is oppressing you with, the hecticness of life. Right? I want to break every yoke. every yoke that you shouldn't be tied to, I want to break, and I want you to get you back to that yoke that is easy, that I'm in, that I'm able to steer you with. I want you to get into that yoke with me. I want to bring direction to your life, right? What's a yoke for, right? So often the yoke was tied around a youngster's oxen's, I don't know what you call it, young oxen's, but I'd say youngster oxen, it's hard to say it, but tied around his neck and often was put with a mature oxen that would lead and guide, would direct them down the furrow in order to plow the field. Well, gee, we want to be hooked up with the Lord. We want all these other yokes that we have around our necks to be broken. We want the Lord to have the yoke now. And that's why we fast. We get to get back with Him. He shows us those yokes in our lives that need to be dismantled and broken. And we're able to break them off. And then we're able to have that relationship with Him. That yoke that He desires. Then your light shall break. See, there's a progression here, you know. If we were taking on a pleasing fast, it says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness. And your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. Those whose water do not fall or fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places and shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the street to dwell in. There's many breaches in the wall, right? That's one thing Israel, when they got back to their temple, they found many breaches in the wall. Many breaches that couldn't possibly protect their city. So they ended up fixing those breaches. Why? For the protection of their city. For the protection of their people. God wants to fix some of the breaches in our walls. Why? So He can protect us. So He can protect our marriages. So He can protect our families. It's important to us. It's important to Him that we fix the breaches. This is something that Alan Redpath, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but old theologian, said, we live in a broken world. In every direction there are breaches which are wide and deep. There are broken hearts and broken homes. And that which once was sacred is but a waste place. Whereas once there was a carefully guarded fence around the sanctity of family life, sex life, and the right to personal privacy, now there is just a waste place. The wall of protection is in ruins, and life has lost all its meaning. And as we looked at Israel, We see they did all this fasting. But why? Why did they do it? It's important to know why, right? Because if we're doing it with the wrong motive, it's just going to be a ritual to us. It's just going to be something that Calvary Chapel does, you know? But if our motive is to hear the voice of God, to repair the breaches that are in our walls, that's important. It's important. Because if God can fix these folks here, if God can fix this vessel here, the cracks in this vessel here, through a fast, if He can repair one crack with each time we fast, it's worth it. Why? Because it allows some of the things here that Alan Redpath talks about, the broken homes, the brokenhearted, the misconception in what a family life is, starts to repair those things. Because, why? Because it's no longer our wisdom, but it's God's wisdom that all of a sudden we're working on. We're hearing from Him and we're doing what He's asked us to do. No longer is it my motivation that provides wisdom to my family, but it's God's wisdom that provides it. So it's about our worship to Him. It's about our true worship to Him. Are we willing to lay aside meals for Him? Do you love Him? Do you love Him in the spirit? Or do you just love Him in the flesh? You know, if you love Him in the flesh, you need to be born again, right? You need to be born of that spirit. There's a right way to do the fast and there's a wrong way. The right way to do it is to seek the Lord for His glory, not for ours. It's not ever for us. Remember, we are put here not for our pleasure. So often is it our pleasure that we want to live. Right? God, things aren't pleasurable right now, and I want it back to being pleasurable. No, it's for His pleasure. We're for His pleasure. Right? It says sin is pleasurable for a season for us. Pleasure for us is seasonal. But for Him, we are His pleasure. And the purpose in which we live is because of Him. It's all for Him. If that sounds foreign to you today, you need to be born again. You need to be born in the Spirit. I want to take you through some things that the Lord just kind of showed me. And then we'll do communion right afterwards. So seeking the Lord during the fast, right? I put this together because I just wanted to give you some ideas. Certainly, we should seek Him in our relationship with Him, right? We should ask the Lord to declare to us any sin that is apparent in our lives to Him. If it's apparent to Him, we want to fix it, right? So, Lord, I want my relationship with You sound. I want it to be as best I can on this earth. Relationship with our family, with our husband and our wives, right? With our wife. I guess we shouldn't have multiple wives. Solomon tried that and he wasn't successful. But we should want that relationship with Him, right? We want to seek Him. We want to seek Him over that relationship. Relationship with other believers. Maybe you have some strife. Maybe you have some irritation right now with another believer. You need to seek the Lord for that. Because he's made us a team. He's made us a team here to proclaim the truth of the gospel, to go out to the world and share in the Great Commission, to go to your workplace and share. When you have those irritations in your life, it's hard to share. When you're always striving with another brother and sister, it's hard to get on to what God's actually purposed you for. So our relationships with other believers, and then our relationships with the world. What's our relationship with the world? Are we tied to the world so tightly that that relationship has now overpowered our relationship with the Lord. Right? And then, what is our relationship? Do we have a good relationship, good rapport with people that are in the world? Are we giving them a true witness for Christ, or are we coming across as holier than thou? You know, what is our motivation in those relationships? Is it to use the people? Because they'll find you out. Is it to use the people to get to different levels in our careers, our relationship with the world? You can go to the next one there. And then agape. You know, as I was thinking about agape fellowship today, I felt like God wanted me to just go through this a little bit. Is that, what is agape? Well, it's the way God loves, right? It is the way God loves. Agape is love which is of and from God, and it's the essence of agape love is self-sacrifice, right? And we see that on the cross of Jesus Christ. When God went to the cross, He did it because He was the sacrifice. He was selfless, right? He didn't go there because He wanted to, right? He went there for you. He went there for me. So from a stand of agape, agape love is really being unselfish. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrated His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So it wasn't a condition of His love is never a condition upon where you're at spiritually. He did it before you were a Christian. So we need to act in the same way, right? Is that when we look at God's love for us, do we say, well, yeah, that's good, but when we treat other people, we have some kind of condition. All of a sudden we're like, hey, you know, if they would do this, I would do that. That's not what God said. God said, I'll die for that sinner. Right? And then when He accepts me, I'll make Him a new creature. That's pretty cool. Right? Is that God didn't wait for us to be perfected for Him to work in our lives. But He took these kids that were misbehaving, sinning, and He said, let me fix you, right? I've already bought the house, right? Now let me bring you into the house. Let me fix you, you know? Next slide. I've only got 40 of these slides and then we'll be ready for, just kidding. I just want to, you know, in my own sense, sometimes I lose reality of how good we have it, right? How good we have it. And if you read through that chapter of Isaiah, you'll find that one of the reasons for fasting is because other people don't have a choice. They fast every day without a choice, right? And I wanted to show you this because it gives a calorie count in a sense of consumption intake per capita here. And the numbers don't mean much to me, but the colors do. The color green, the greener it is, the better off they are, the better fed they are. And obviously you can see the United States, we have a hard time saying that we're hurting in a sense, right? Most of us, we're kind of that adage, fat, dumb, and happy, right? We kind of sit over here on our little island and we sulk and fester and say how bad we've got it, yet if we looked around the world, we'd see that there is others that don't have anything. The lighter they get, the less they have. And so as I was looking at this and pondering the fact that we do, I also noticed that something that I didn't throw up here was that one out of seven children in America are not eating. Which doesn't correlate. You could say, well, that doesn't correlate with this. Why does this show us so good? Right? That's because everybody else is so bad. Right? But we still have a concern for this country that some of our kids are living in a place that they shouldn't be. Right? This kid's touch your heart, touches my heart. Right? You know, most of us could say that if a kid was hungry, okay, that's one thing, but you know, or if an adult's hungry, that's one thing, but if a kid's hungry, oh boy, we gotta change this. Right? And I don't want to plead on your emotions because that's not why I'm saying this. But it gets us thinking about how good we've got it. You know? And when we look at our fast, right, I want to give you some challenges for our fast. Right? If you can go to the next slide. So February Agape Fellowship. You can press the button again. I got it kind of filtered here. What I'd like to do is have a time of fast at the end here, and then next Agape I would like to do like a Daniel fast in a sense. I'd like to end it with a Daniel fast, which is really more vegetables and stuff like that. We're not gonna throw you out if you bring some meat, but just from a mindful standpoint of if somebody's coming off a fast, that's done it for a couple weeks, it's nice to eat vegetables, I'll tell you that much. If you haven't gotten one of those fasting books in the library or in the bookstore, you know, they're $7. They're worth a read. They'll let you know a few things that you probably wouldn't have thought of. But you don't want to come off a fast and eat a great big pizza, even though you're hungry. Because I've done it. And it's not pretty. When a guy's rolling around on the floor, no, I'm just kidding. I wasn't slaying the spirit either. No. Next bullet. I'll get more serious. And a time of sharing. You know what I want? I want you guys to, as you fasted, right? I want you guys to come forth and say, hey, this is, you don't have to do this. This is optional, right? But what a blessing it would be for God's children to hear how you were blessed through your fast. You know? Okay, so a time of sharing. It'll be open. And here's the challenge. Save the meals you fasted because I'll be real hungry. But that's not really why I'm saying this. Really why I'm saying this is a challenge that me and my family are doing, right? When I looked at that map and I saw that there's a lot of folks that are hungry, yet in our own country, there's children that are starving every day, you know. I want to do something, right? And so I make the challenge of perhaps saving whatever you think it's worth. I can't tell you what, you know, some of you guys that cook, I can tell you that your wife cooks better and their meals are probably a little worth more to me. So I'll probably pay a little bit more for their meals than you guys, but especially my wife, I spend a lot of money. But just to say, I'm going to take this amount of money and put it in a hat. And I want to use that to further somebody's hunger pains and further the gospel. So that's the next point here. So the thought here is to take whatever you want to give. If you want to give something, just say, hey, this is for the fast, and I'm throwing it in the envelope and I'm putting it in there. And, you know, we'll take that. And 50% will go for the physical, and 50% will go for the spiritual. Because I don't think we do this just to feed the physical, right? It's never all about the physical. We know people have to eat, but in the same sense, they need to eat the word too. So we want to get that to them, you know? So that's my challenge to you. You can take it, you can leave it. But that's just something that the Lord's laid on my heart